So this week was one of my favorite holidays, sort of, was Earth Day. And for the record, I am pro-Earth. Like, it's a great planet. I'm really glad we're living on it instead of Mars or something like that. And, you know, we don't want to be flippant about taking care of the world that, God has given to us, because that's it's a great world, and we should care for all of the things that God has created. But at the same time, like, I always get annoyed this time of year, because it's like, do I have to hear the same lecture from some guy flying around in a private jet about the truck I drive? And it's just like, why am I riding a bicycle and you're just like flying in this private jet? It just seems like there's something missing here. Or like, the worst thing is like feeling shame for picking up my, plastic bags. It's like, shame on you for your plastic bags. For the record, my wife always brings reusable bags. I always forget. And now I'm just sort of stuck like carrying like 1,000 different things without any bags. And it's just like the people looking down at me, it's like, well, why don't you just get to Emmanuel, like my servant? He just carries all the stuff. It's not a big deal for me. It's like, well, it's kind of like I get annoyed at the hypocrisy of people who don't struggle telling me what to do. And yet, it's really easy to kind of, point out hypocrisy of people. But I think about my own life, and I still think about this. There was one, it was a Sunday about, a couple of years ago, and I was preaching a sermon on patience. It's a dangerous thing. And the night before, I'd gotten so frustrated with my kids and like nobody's listening to me that I hit the wall just like this. And still today, it's not in my house now, thankfully. I didn't look at it. There's like a little indent, the exact print of my hand in the side of the wall as a reminder of my hypocrisy. Here I was going to preach on being patient, and I was the least patient. But are we that different? Have you ever been in a conversation and you're sitting there and everybody's talking and you're just sort of like, why isn't anybody listening to me? So you don't say it, you say it on the inside. Meanwhile, it's like, I'm not listening because I'm like thinking this instead of actually paying attention to what these people are saying. Tim Keller has this line, and it's so great. Imagine for a second every time in your life that you made a moral judgment. You'd be like, oh, look at what she's doing, or look what they're doing. Every time they recorded that. And then at judgment day, like, God played back all of the times that you made a moral judgment of someone else and then judged your life just based on your judgments of others, it would be far more than enough to condemn us all. Hypocrisy is something everybody hates and everybody kind of does. Now, today in God's Word, not yet. Today in God's Word, we're going to see two things. One is what we should not do, and that is we should not live for people's praise. We shouldn't live for people's approval. And secondly, what we should do is what we should selflessly serve others. Knowing who we are in God, selflessly serve others, knowing who we are in God. So first, do not live for people's praise. Jesus, he's continuing on, and he's in this big conflict with the Jewish leadership. He says, and in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples. And Luke wants us to make sure that Jesus is talking to his disciples here to give this warning he's going to give about the scribes and their hypocrisy. And the warning he gives isn't that, you know, watch out for them because they're doing all these things, because it's not like, you know, they're being hypocritical is doing anything to the disciples. Jesus is warning them because they are going to be tempted to behave in the same kinds of ways. They're going to be tempted. And like, this is like, it goes right to the Christian life. The thing is, when you begin following God, you start making progress in your life, you start, you know, fighting against sin, having your life transformed. As soon as you take a step forward, you are going to be tempted to look down on the person who's just a step behind you. I remember this happening in my life. When I first got really serious about following Christ when I was in college. I was in college, and I was a big moment. I really, like, just came alive towards God. And one of the first things I did, as one does as a college student, I took all of my music, my secular music, you know, my Blink 182 and Offspring and stuff. And I took it all, and it wasn't CDs. It was all, like, illegally downloaded on my computer. And I put it in a file, and I deleted it. And then not like a day later, I'm like driving along with my friend, and he's like, you know, bopping along to some Green Day song. Don't be an American idiot. And I'm just like thinking like, oh, I'm glad. Thank you, Lord, you did not make me such a sinner as him. When not 5 minutes ago, I was listening to far worse. Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces. There was like a special like greeting you would give to a religious person. And the best seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at feasts. The scribes love praise. Now, in our lives, hypocrisy happens when we work more on what people can see more than what God can see. We work on the outside instead of the inside. And so they walk around in all of these ways to make themselves look good. And I mean, there's this temptation because praise feels so good. Who likes being praised? Like, everybody likes being praised. And now, it's okay to like being praised. After all, God himself, when I pray on that day, we get to heaven and we get to sit down, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Like, God himself will praise the faithful Christian. So it's not, praise isn't a bad thing. We will receive praise. But as soon as your heart starts desiring the praise, and most especially the praise of people, things get warped very quickly. Hypocrisy happens when we live for the praise of man instead of the praise of God. Beware of living for people's praise. Now look at Jesus' warning here, particularly like to walk around in long robes, and they're kind of like robes that religious people would wear, and they're like some fancy, expensive robes, and they feel like look good, you know, people see them in their sharp suit. Well, that would be like the modern day. And this like hits to me like now, because they're walking around to get noticed by people. And this isn't like an anti-social media sermon, but they like think of all the times on social media. And I've tried to like look just right so people like think, oh yeah, look at how nice my family is. Look at all the music they play. No video, sorry. You get lots of likes, and every time you like hit that, you know, post on the social media thing, it's like, think, am I doing this just for the praise of man? Because hypocrisy happens when we live for the praise of man instead of for God's glory. They love the best seats in the synagogue Now, apparently we're really holy because nobody like sits like right up in the front row. So like these like are empty. We don't really have best. Maybe the best seats are towards the back or in the middle. I don't know what the best seat is. The best seat's my comfortable chair. But I think of so many times I'm at a social gathering. In fact, this just happened yesterday. You know, I'm sitting down and I'm talking with this person and they're actually like they're living at a shelter right now. They're pretty much homeless. And there's part of my heart that is like, I want to go talk to like the successful businessman over here. I don't want to like just be sitting here because my heart is gravitating towards the places of importance because that's where you get self-respect. Jesus warns us, do not seek out the best place. Do not seek out the best person to talk to, maybe even the best neighborhood to live in. Each Christian should honor the queen or the homeless person with the same kind of honor, because we're not supposed to seek out the best place to put ourselves forward, but to boldly follow the will of God. And often that goes through some different poor and out of the way places. Hypocrisy happens when we live for people's praise instead of God's glory. Do not live for people's praise. Now it goes on, and this is a great line. Those people who devour widows' houses. Now, this doesn't mean that they're like going up to the widows' houses and like gnawing on the side of them. This is a metaphor. And it's probably that like they're taking advantage. Religious people had, you know, they could like request donkeys and you could go to like someone's house and be like, hey, can I stay here? And they would like be morally obligated to let them stay. And so they would go, they would get free rides at these widows' houses. They would be able to eat and drink there so that they would have extra money so they could afford the fancy robes so they could look good before all of the people. And then they make long prayers for people to see how pious they were. Yeah, and people are thinking, Pastor, you make some pretty long prayers sometimes. And this is a fearful text for me, like leader, for any religious person, because we can see how God hates many things that look religious. Long prayers, fancy songs, if they are merely being done to please people, God is not impressed by how sharp your preacher's yellow shirt, how fancy the church building. He's not impressed by the seven-piece band or even your charity to the poor if it's done just to impress people, just to make yourself look good. We must not live for people's praise. After all, hypocrisy happens when we live for people's praise instead of for God's glory. Jesus has already told us, for what is exalted among men is an abomination to God. Now, in contrast to these people who like look good on the outside, but like some sort of rotten fruit, you take a bite in and it's not good on the inside, Jesus holds up another example. In the outer court of the temple, in the court of women, there are these like 13 trumpet-shaped offering boxes. And all of these rich people were coming and they were putting in their denariuses, these silver coins, clink, clank, into the offering box, being filled up with these hundreds and thousands of dollars. In contrast, a widow comes forward, hands scarred from hard work, skin dark from the sunshine, silently stalks forward to the offering box and slips in two small copper coins. Tink, tink. Two copper coins, like two pennies, the smallest bit of currency they had. Now, according to people, a gift like this is meaningless. You know, you're not even paying for, you know, in a couple minutes labor for the laborer working on the temple. You know, in today's dollars, one of these coins, it might be like a loony in the offering plate, compared to the thousands of dollars other people are, $100 bills other people are putting in. You know, it's like our church has a budget of $160,000, and like, that's like, what good is a loony when you're looking at the budget? But God does not look at money this way. And he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. Jesus says, this woman's loony is worth far more than their stacks of Benjamins. Actually, in Canada, their stacks of Bordens, after Prime Minister Robert Borden, which I'm sure Bob remembers. It's that, you know, part of me kind of doesn't like this, because I'm like, you know, we have a church, you know, I kind of like getting paid, you know. And yet, God does not look at money this way. God cares more for the widow's loony than he does the millionaire's big contribution that gets the big plaque on the building. You know, they don't name after anything after the widow's loony. But God gives her a name. Like, God recognizes this. Because God cares far more for the heart fully dedicated to him than he does mere money. That God doesn't need any of the money at all. Like, God could do all of it without money. And I always say this, like, most of the important thing we do as a church requires almost nothing but willing hearts. This woman was insignificant in the eyes of all of the men. She's the complete opposite of the people strutting around in their long robes. But she was beautiful in God's eyes because her heart was fully dedicated to God, a dedication that caused her to give even her last two coins. Here we see God's heart for the widow. And in this, I think we can learn how to adjust our own hearts to be more in tune with God's heart. Do not live for people's praise. If she wanted to live for people's praise, I mean, she would have been like, you know, I gotta like work harder because I need to at least put in like a denarius into here. Like, that's gonna like at least, you know, think well of me. But no, she did not care that people thought that she was giving almost nothing. She cared for God. Now, she understands the gospel, that God has given her all that she needs. And if you're paralyzed by living for the praise of people, which is like, that's a really serious thing, because I mean, I like being liked. You know, how do you overcome that on a day-by-day basis? And this is how, by looking to this woman. The key is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because in the gospel, we, like the widow, can see that God is our all in all. We can see in the cross that the penalty of our sins has been fully paid by what Jesus done. That our perfect obedience is won by all that Jesus has done at the cross. We get that merely by believing in him, not by any, you know, good we do, not by how good we look before others or God. We are, through faith, adopted into the family of God. and in his family are fully welcomed and accepted. And in Christ, we have a heavenly treasure that can never fail or fade. And so when you see in Christ, in the gospel, we have all things. We can see that God is our all in all. And focusing on this one truth allows us to step past the self, the selfish thoughts that seek to build myself up in the eyes of other, and to be fully convinced that God is all that I need. And so on the day that God calls me to give my last two coins, my last loony into the offering plate, I can do it with joy, knowing that God has already given me all that I need and will be with me for eternity. Let's pray. Lord God, free us from the fear of man. Free us from living for people's praise. Confirm in us the gospel that Jesus Christ has given us all we need. Transform our hearts to be generous, knowing that we have everything already, so that we can live out the will of God and live for you alone. I pray, Lord God, that we would be more like the widow, less like the rich man or the hypocrites. Guide us, Lord God. Transform us by your power. Help us to see you. You are our all in all. Help us to know that every moment of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To call for the usher to bring the offering. And call up the worship team to lead worship. Let's just pray for the offering. Let's dedicate it. Lord God, we just dedicate these gifts for you. I pray we can give what we have for your glory, joyfully knowing you are our all in all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.